I and the Father are one. I find this phrase breathtaking in its simplicity and in its truth, and I'd like to make two comments about it this morning, one about seeking ourselves and the other about seeking God. So much of our culture is about the individual. What do I want? What will make me happy? What should I choose? I want, I have. What should I be? How can I fulfill my personal potential? How can I be truly myself? What is the real me? How do my choices reflect who I am as a person, my signature, my style, my character, my voice, my story, me, me, me? The self has become an idol, and everyone is under pressure to stand out, to make their mark, and to be heard. In many cultures, at many times, it's not been like this, and the group, the family, or the whole culture has been seen as more important than the individual. And yet, in this age of mass communications, we can see just how like others we are, and how our apparently unique identity is actually a sham. The advertising industry and our governments know that we're not individuals at all. Our attitudes, our thoughts, our behaviours are bought and sold with lists and campaigns, and we follow the same fashions and styles, echo the same views and prejudices, read the same novels and magazines as everyone else. In social terms, my uniqueness is a myth. There are loads of middle-aged men just like me, reading the same books, sharing the same posts on social media, taking up the same middle-aged man hobbies, falling into the same snares. Of course, we are ourselves, and spiritually each of us is unique to God, but it's good for us to remember that we are special individuals among many billions of special individuals, and that our fulfillment will not come from defining ourselves against them, but from the degree to which we can accept our shared nature, our shared destiny, our shared needs and responsibilities. Christian faith is not about achieving our own unique identity, but about finding our fulfillment in the life of God which we share. Dorcas, the widow whom God raised from the dead through St. Peter's prayer, had devoted herself to her tailoring work and her acts of charity and good works. She's not commended for her uniqueness or her originality, but rather for her goodness, for the extent to which she was faithful to God and to his calling. It's not a bad thing to recognise that we are like other people, part of the mass of humanity, albeit the rich and privileged part of that mass in a struggling world. It is a mass of humanity which God created in love, made up of people from every land, every language, redeemed by Christ and destined to worship him for eternity. Christianity, then, is profoundly countercultural today. We do not believe in individualism. It's not part of our faith. We believe that our destiny is to share the identity of God. We begin, we continue, and end in the love of God, a love so vast that we can all be included within it, a love so pure that we can all be washed by it, a love so deep that we can never exhaust it. It's not about me, it's about God. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Jesus was a man, a human being like us. He was uniquely the Son of God, but he understood something profound about the relationship between human being and the divine. Although we are created beings, there is the life of God within each of us, which resonates with God's nature and with God's presence. We are striving and searching souls, seeking identity, trying to find out who we are, trying to find some peace in ourselves and in our relationships with others, and seeking God, who is our beginning and our end. But so much of the time we cannot see the wood for the trees. The Quran says that God is closer to us than our jugular vein, but we are looking for him, journeying across deserts and oceans in search of his presence. I love the writings of the Indian Jesuit Anthony de Mello, who helps in such simple terms to direct us to where God can be found. In one of his stories, he says that two fish met together while they were swimming. The younger fish said, "Excuse me, you are older than me, So please can you tell me where to find the thing they call ocean? The older fish said, the ocean is the thing you are in now. The younger fish said, oh, this, but this is water. What I am seeking is the ocean. And he swam away to search elsewhere. In Oxford, it was often remarked that visitors would come to the town and would stand and ask people around them the way to the university, when in fact they were standing in the middle of the university, with buildings to the left and the right all around them, which were part of that great institution. We went on holiday a few years ago to Croatia and fell into the same trap. While visiting Split, I'd been concentrating so much on not crashing our hire car that I didn't have time to read the guidebook, and we arrived there and hastily parked, sat down in a cafe, and I asked the waiter if he could tell us the way to Diocletian's palace. He looked around him with that same look that I'd seen in Oxford and said, "You're sitting in the middle of it," as indeed we were. A holy man came to the master and said, "Master, for years I have been seeking God. I have sought him everywhere that he is said to be, on mountain peaks, in the vastness of the desert, in the silence of the cloister, and among the dwellings of the poor." "Have you found him?" the master asked. "No, I have not," he replied. "Have you?" What could the master say? The evening sun was sending shafts of golden light into the room. Hundreds of sparrows were twittering in the tree outside. In the distance you could hear the sound of the traffic on the highway. A mosquito droned a warning that it was about to strike, and yet this man could believe that he had not found him. God is closer than we think. He knows us better than we can imagine, loves us more than we can ever conceive. At the end of these two parables, Anthony de Mello wrote, "Stop searching, little fish. There isn't anything to look for. All you have to do is look." Amen.